last word
with Life Pharmacy. Over 100 local pharmacies nationwide that are always here to help. Life Pharmacy. Live better together.
Joining me in studio for the week trending, Marion McCone, who of course you know every week on our American slot with Cal Thomas, but she's got a different colleague to speak with today. Dave Hanratty is with us as well, host of the No Encores podcast. Thank you both for joining us. I'm going to start today by talking about Irish artists in a bit of bother in the UK. We'll talk about NECAP in just a few moments, but let's start with Sally Rooney. Why is Sally Rooney now the target of adverse comment in the British media, Marion?
Well, Sally Rooney spoke out and I think implied that she would support Palestine Action, which is a group that was set up in the UK to protest what's happening in Gaza and indeed the West Bank. And they were promptly described or proscribed as a terrorist organisation by the British government.
Why? What had Palestine Action done to be called a terrorist organisation?
This is a perfect example of bad law, because it was an overreach and it's basically unenforceable. They had gone to some British air bases, I believe. They were targeting people who were selling, including the British government, Department of Defence, who were selling or manufacturing arms that were going to be used by Israel in their bombardment of Gaza. So they did about £7 million worth of damage, I think, in vandalising. They broke into an air hangar as well.
That's terrorism, is it?
Well, this is what I just want to make clear. Vandalism and trespass, which they're undeniably guilty of, do not equate terrorism. They are not under any European or local or national law tantamount to terrorism. This is absolutely ridiculous, and it was a knee-jerk reaction. And you know what? The British Prime Minister, Keir Starmer, is a former human rights lawyer. He should damn well know better. He really should. It's not, this was just this, you know, I remember back in the 80s, do you remember in the UK when the Pogues released that song, The Birmingham Six, Guildford Four, and it was banned from the BBC, and there were questions in, you know, the parliament, and should they be deported, and they're terrorists. And it's just, again, this ludicrous overreach that Sally Rooney is an artist. She is entitled to her opinion. She's entitled to say she's going to support anything she wants with her money, whether it comes from the BBC or anywhere else, which a point I think the BBC made. But it gets back to this ludicrous situation where you have 83-year-old people, 85-year-olds who are protesting peacefully in London. About 800, I think it is, Dave, is it?
Over 700 people have been arrested since this is being proscribed as terrorism
for supporting a terrorist organisation.
Well, as one listener, Dave, says, they're actually an anti-terrorist organisation.
That's the great irony of it, isn't it? And yeah, I would agree with everything said there. It is mass hysteria. And yeah, over 700 people have been arrested now since it was proscribed as a terrorist organisation this summer, the bulk of which happened at a peaceful protest in August or earlier this month. So it was 522 people that day, I believe. And yeah, I mean, everyone from, you know, students to an 83-year-old vicar, I think she might have been. Sally Rooney, of course,
They're not fundraising to buy guns or anything like that, or to create bombs.
Holding up a sign. Just if you or I went to the streets of London right now and held up a sign saying Palestine Action on the sign, you can get arrested. It happened at Liam O'Gohany's hearing the other day. One man who had a sign saying, accusing Israel of genocide, was arrested. And that's where we're at now. That's what Keir Starmer and Yvette Cooper have decided to kind of bring down. And thus Sally Rooney finds herself in the firing line, because she has pledged to give her royalties going forward to Palestine Action for any of her work, whether it's the television show adaptations or the books themselves. Now, Sally Rooney has been outspoken about her views on Gaza for quite some time. In 2021, she refused to have her books, her next two books, I guess, translated into Hebrew because of her stance on the matter of what she has described as Israel's genocide in Gaza. And an extremely outspoken artist, and had an article that she wrote in the Irish Times, I think it was last weekend, essentially saying that if my support of Palestine Action, which I will continue to do, is under UK law deemed to be terrorism, well then I'm a terrorist, so be it. And you wonder now what that means, because while Downing Street haven't named her in any official communique, they have said if somebody funds Palestine Action, you are funding terrorism. And you also wonder what that will mean for Sally Rooney if she's doing, say, public appearances in the UK, if she's at some kind of book festival or whatever, and someone in the crowd asks her a question, or the moderator on stage says, hey, what about XYZ about Gaza? And she talks about Palestine Action. that is technically something she could be arrested for.
Or if somebody throws a Palestinian flag onto the stage and she picks it up.
She's doing a reading. Yeah. You know what? You almost want this to, not that I'm encouraging anyone to, but this has to be tested in court. I think it has to be appealed. I think it has to go to the top courts in the UK, because what they've done is they've put Palestine Action on a footing with groups like ISIS. So it's, you know, you are going to be, it's the same crime and pretty well the same penalty, I would imagine. Well, I don't know if it's the same penalty, that's up to a judge. But to put a protest group who, as I said, have, you know, a bit of vandalism, a bit of trespass, not condoning that.
Oh,
but
sorry,
to,
listener here says, them. They damaged military aircraft. Terrorism, plain and simple. Treason.
Plain and simple, good pun, I like it. And in fairness, they have caused some damage, and it has cost a lot of money. Mm-hmm. To bring it back to Sally Rooney, she herself has said... Well,
sorry, but nobody got hurt. And so that's a key point isn't it?
Yeah, like peaceful in that regard. Sally Rooney has said, look at the suffragette movement, look at other movements that have had to take, quote-unquote, violent means to achieve change. And in this case, I know it's not the same thing, but it reminds me of the Just Stop Oil people and, you know, throwing soup and paint onto paintings which are actually behind glass, and some of them have been jailed for years.
For traffic disruption.
And even if, you know, like, if you consider yourself, if you think this is all leftist nonsense, fine, you can think that, but do you really think those people should be in jail for 6 years or whatever it is? Do you really think an 83-year-old should be arrested for saying pro-Palestine sloganeering at an otherwise peaceful protest? Is that where we want to be in modern society? It doesn't make any sense to me.
Well, that's where we're heading. If you look at in DC this week, the crazed, and I will say this, the US attorney for Washington DC, Jean Pirro, said that it's no longer, you cannot be prosecuted anymore for carrying a rifle or a gun in Washington DC, despite their claims that crime is so high they have to have troops on the street. But apparently it's a felony to throw a sandwich.
Okay, so we get to Washington later. Another listener says, it's not terrorism. By the same logic, a teenager spraying graffiti on a train could be deemed a terrorist. Now, tell us a bit. We did cover it earlier in the week, but I think it is worth returning to NECAP and Lima Hanna's appearance facing charges in the Westminster Magistrates Court.
Yeah, as expected, quite, I guess, volatile or vibrant, depending on your viewpoint, scenes awaiting him when he and the rest of the band and their manager, Dan Lambert, arrived at the court. I think they even might have sent in a decoy of him to kind of fool photographers. Once again, kind of performance art comes into everything. But the long and the short of it is that Liam O'Gohany, whose stage name is Makara, is still being investigated for an alleged terror charge and has to wait a month now for the verdict to come down. You've got his
side... As to whether the charges were brought within the necessary time period.
You have his side arguing that there's a technical error at fault here and that, you know, the right boxes weren't ticked when it came to the admin of this. You have the prosecution saying, no, it's actually fine. Everything was filed correctly. So it's come down to this. It's come down to actually technicalities, and it's another month. I think the judge was kind of saying, well, I need to give this due consideration and so on and so forth. But once again, speaking outside afterwards, Liam Hogue and the rest of them were resolute, as they have been throughout, and they made a point of saying Free Palestine and, you know, like, criticising Israel. That won't stop them. This won't stop them.
I think the judge also said he needed a holiday, and I don't blame him. This is ludicrous. You know, this is a case I suspect will get off on a technicality. They don't... What his lawyers are saying is that they don't have jurisdiction because of technical issues. The judge does probably not want to have to deal with this, so I think if there is a way he can let it off on a technicality, he probably will. But I was laughing because they said that the police arrived. It's like, you know, the Keystone Cops, they arrived to put up barriers for crowd control, but they arrived at 9 o'clock. The crowd were all there since 8. So they, you know, it's what's the opposite of bolting the stable door after the horse is gone? This is kind of it, isn't it? That you put up the barriers when all the crowds have already... You're putting them
arrived.
Up when the crowds are there.
Okay, but just one thing I will say in this. I mean, is it not a bit smart alecky and unnecessary for the demanding that there would be an Irish language translator for him in court when he comes out afterwards and makes a statement to the media in English, when he's clearly going to be able to follow all of the case in English in a court in London with needing an Irish translator?
I get where you're coming from, and you can certainly kind of, you know, reduce NECAP to pranksters if you want to, but I think he's making a very valid point that in the UK, the refusal to put his name into Native Irish is further, I guess, underlining of colonial history that we've had with them and the Anglification and you know, for them in legal matters, in law matters, his name technically doesn't exist. So I think he's got every right to speak in whatever language he chooses to the waiting media outside. But I do think it goes beyond just kind of ribaldry or whatever. Like, I think he's making a point, and a humane point. He's fighting for his rights. He's fighting for his rights as an Irishman.
Okay, let's go on to other issues. Denmark abolished VAT on books to stop a reading crisis. They apparently have 25% VAT on books. I was actually in the United States last week. I was in New York and I was also in part of rural New Jersey. But in New York, I decided it'd be nice to find a bookstore to visit. Where do you find a bookstore in New York anymore? I had the same problem in Chicago earlier this year. At least in Dublin, if somebody comes to Dublin, if they're an international visitor, they will find really good bookstores. If you go to London, London is full of terrific bookstores, great variety. You get the likes of Waterstones with floors and floors of books. Where are all the bookstores? You've just come back from living for many years in America, yeah. Marion. Where are the bookstores in America anymore?
You know, in Washington, D.C. and in L.A., where I was spending my time more or less, there were a lot of bookstores. I had a bookstore down the road in L.A. called Book Soup, which is a legendary bookstore. Absolutely fantastic. The most obscure and an independently owned. And we all loved it and supported it. But you're right. I remember in New York when I lived there, there was a big one near the Lincoln Center. It was, I think, a Barnes & Noble. That's gone. There are no bookstores left in New York. And I think it's shocking, but I was shocked. Not only, as you say, at the dearth of bookstores in New York, but I'm shocked that in Denmark, A, they charge 25% VAT, and B, that the average, I think, that of for 6 million people, only 8.2 million books a year are bought. That's 1.2 books per person.
Actually, I follow Stephen King on social media, and he put out a post this week saying, in the last 20 years, there's been a 40% decline in those who read for pleasure. That's probably about the United States. Can there be any doubt that this coincides with the rise of the empty-headed pussyhound in the White House?
Sure. Now, why not?
Of course, it was a book that Donald Trump had written for him, which catapulted him to fame in the 80s, The Art of the Deal. But it is worrying, isn't
it? He
didn't write. I said that he had written for him. Yes. Sorry. Yes. Listen to me, Marion.
But it's the 80s is the key point of that sentence there, unfortunately. It is.
So.
It's generational change. And listen, I used to devour books, and I'm ashamed of myself for how few I devour now. And my attention span has been warped and ruined by the phone in front of me, the modern world we live in, the way social media has dominated everything. It is extremely hard. And I can't, you know, say, like, well, it's completely the fault of others. It's also my fault as well. It is. I should be more disciplined. Books are amazing. They're absolutely incredible. I worked in a bookstore before, and they're beautiful places to work in as well as even just go into. I'm not surprised, though, and I have to say the cynic in me is kind of like, will this make a difference? I don't know. And of those kind of stats that are there, the vast majority of books that are sold in Denmark are kids' books. They're picture books and so on, and then maybe some suspense thrillers after that. It's going to cost 38 million quid as well, and I wonder if we'll be counting those costs as it goes on. I welcome any move to try and, you know, like, get those books out there and read. And again, I hear myself saying this, and I'm like, Dave, go home this weekend and read a book, for Christ's sake. But yeah, I just worry that it's old, quote-unquote old media, legacy media, and it's all phones now. It's all phones now. I can't believe I just said that out loud. I sound like I'm 99 years of age.
Well, I'm going to sound 106, because I'm going to say that when kids, literally kids, you know, if you're spending 3 hours a day on your phone, on Instagram, and on, you know, scrolling and texting, that time you probably would have spent reading a book. Now, I know loads of kids, luckily, who read books, and certainly in my family, they're good readers. But there's that constant tension, like, do you spend 3 hours on your phone looking at other people's, you know, liking and disliking, or do you read a book? I know which most of the kids are doing, but, you know, I'd prefer to read a book.
The event of the week, in many respects, Marion, was Zelensky, the Ukrainian president, going to the White House last Monday, not been treated with the same bad manners as he had been last February, but possibly because he had to bring all of the main European leaders with him as sort of protection.
Well, it was a really smart move. And, you know, the thing is, when you're dealing with a bully like Trump, which he essentially is, who was fresh back off the tarmac from Alaska, where I still can't get this image out of my head, where you saw this image of American troops on their knees rolling out a red carpet in front of Putin's plane, an indicted war criminal. You know, I mean, just the optics of Trump and Putin. But clearly, as was said so many times to me by people who worked in the first Trump cabinet and got fired or resigned, that it is the last person he speaks to whose opinion stays in his ear. So he was coming fresh off this. He had rolled back on the need for a ceasefire. Let's go straight. He gave Putin everything he needed and then some. So Zelensky was going to turn up in there, and having been put on the back foot to the degree that if Zelensky didn't agree to move forward with a peace plan without a ceasefire. He was going to be the obstruction to peace, you know. And so I think to bring along these people like Starmer and Rutte and Macron and Maloney and the rest, like the seven aside team, it was good optics. It also gave Trump this thing that he loves. Trump is, he's a TV guy. He loves the optics. For him, seeing them all trotting up to the White House, doffing their caps, that he was that important. They were all turning up at his house, and then seeing Zelensky thanking him and playing the game and wearing the combat adjacent suit, you know, and all that. It gave him what he wanted. Thank God J.D. Vance shut the hell up for, you know, once and didn't, because that was a staged ambush the last time. So they were ready for that. It was still a one-on-one. The meeting went well, but I'm really pessimistic
when
about
this.
When
you talk about it been a sort of like a social media or television stunt, let's hear hear something compiled by the Washington Post of all of these European leaders and the way they spoke when they arrived at the White House.
I really want to thank you, President of the United States, dear Donald.
Thank you, Mr. President, for organizing this meeting and for your commitment.
Something is changing, something has changed, thanks to you.
Nobody's been able to bring it to this point, so I thank you for that.
Mr. President, please. Dear Donald, many thanks for having us today.
I really want to thank you for your leadership.
Thank you very much for your efforts.
Thank you so much. I think that we had very good conversation with President.
We have such big unity today. Thank you, Mr. President.
Thank you very much, Mr. President.
And the fact that you have said I'm willing to participate in the security guarantees is a big step. It's really a breakthrough, and it makes all the difference. So also thank you for that.
The trilateral meeting seems the sensible next step, so thank you for being prepared to take that forward.
Thank you so much. Thank you for the map, by the way.
Good map.
It was great.
I mean, talk about kowtowing, huh?
I mean, they have to do it, though. Yeah, I don't necessarily agree with it, but then again, I don't know. I customs, it's, if I'm in your house, your rules, and you got to kind of show some civility.
Very mature of you.
I've always believed that. Like, you know, if you're like, Dave, take those shoes off, then off they come, man. It's your house, Matt. But I mean...
Yeah, that's very mature. I'd accept
it,
that.
It's tricky because, again, and as you say, the guy's a bully. He's also got a giant ego. He is childlike, so they have to kowtow to him. They have to be like, oh, you're the best, Mr. President. Thank you so much. If they don't, it's worse for them. So that they're kind of, you can't win.
Well, okay, you're the adult in the room, Dave. You're going to get that award. But I'm.
Thank you.
What do they win, though? What do they come away with? Because to my mind, objectively, Ukraine is in a much worse position now than it was for all these leaders turning up and Trump and everybody being all jovial and whatever. Because what is the net result here? The net result is that Putin is going to say, yeah, we're talking about talks, we're talking about a meeting with Zelensky, we'll kick that down the can down the road for a couple of weeks, then we'll talk about trilaterals, that'll take us into next spring. Meanwhile, we are getting more and more Ukrainian ground every day, we're pushing forward.
And the Russians have actually increased their bombardment of Ukraine over the last week, although they're demanding from Ukraine, you know, land that actually they had captured, but the Ukrainians had taken back, and they're still demanding essentially more than they actually have in their possession at present. And if Trump tells them, yeah, that's fine, I mean, my God, that's...
But this is outrageous. They want the whole of the Donbass, even though, as you say, Matt, they haven't even... They want the two Ukrainian, the key military installations in the Donbass, which they had taken back by Ukraine. And if they take those, and if they're given that, then it's just a short hop to Kiev, really. And you know, this is really the problem. And I think for all the EU leaders and all that bowing and kowtowing, they didn't gain anything. Ukraine is in a worse position now than it was a month ago.
This listener, actually, just going to stay with you, Marion, for a second, because it's about the news today. John Bolton's house been raided by the FBI only days after Trump slated him for criticising his meeting with Putin. Coincidental. Just remind people who John Bolton is, because he goes back to post 9/11 days initially, doesn't he?
He certainly does. And I remember John Bolton and having quite an irascible conversation with him, being irascible, I think, not me, I would say, when he was the UN ambassador for America. He was part of that neocon group, the George Bush, the Russian to Iraq, the war. He was Trump's security advisor for a while. This is a guy, you mightn't agree with his views, but he knows, he's a smart guy. He does tend to know what he's talking about. He has been very critical of Trump. He wrote a book after he resigned as National Security Advisor. And then, as you say, he said, what the hell is Trump doing in Alaska with Putin? Why is he doing this? He was very critical. And today, his house is raided by the FBI. And Kash Patel put out a text saying the FBI is on a mission. Nobody's above the law. Like, this is
weaponized. This is exactly the type of nonsense that they accused the Biden administration administration are doing. Actually, we do need a little bit more of Donald Trump audio, because did you know that Donald Trump is the world's leading expert on grass? Not the type of grass you smoke. Anyway, nope. This is in remarks to police officers when he promised to regrass Washington, D.C.'s parks.
Right now, it's better than it has been in years. And in a couple of weeks, it's going to be even far better than that. And everybody's safe now. Everybody feels safe. And they're all coming in. And people are now coming in. They're making reservations to come in. They want to be in Washington, D.C. One of the things we're going to be redoing is your parks. I'm very good at grass because I have a lot of golf courses all over the place. I know more about grass than any human being, I think, anywhere in the world. And we're going to be regrassing all of your parks, all brand new sprinkler systems, the best that you can buy, just like Augusta. It'll look like Augusta. It'll look like, more importantly, Trump National Golf Club. That's even better. But we're going to have all brand new, beautiful grass. You know, like everything else, grass has a life. Do you know that? Grass has a life. You know, we have a life and grass has a life. And the grass here died about 40 years ago. So we're going to be rebuilding all of your parks, and it's going to happen fast. It's going to go up like a miracle. So you do the job on safety, and I'll get this place fixed up physically, and we're going to be so proud of it.
And Joe Biden wasn't all there.
It's the duality of man. How can someone be the worst and best person at the same time? I don't get it. I wish he was just a comedian or someone's uncle who does an open mic night every week and doesn't have, you know, all the power in the entire world, because the quotes are still out there. Like, he's on better form now as a quotable than he has been for some time. You know, the thing during the week where he's talking about, oh, I'm trying to get to heaven, like, I hope I get there, you know, I helped out in Pakistan there recently, didn't I? Maybe that will get me in there. I'm just like, this man.
So it's no longer a Nobel Peace Prize he wants. No, it's a stairway to heaven.
He wants to make sure he gets those pearly gates. Yeah, no, horrendous, but also you can't look away. I'm sorry.
Can I just say, though, this is the guy talking about grass now, and again, we're assuming it's the type that you sit on, who paved over the Rose Garden in the White House. He just paved over the whole down, and that was beautiful. I mean, there were so many receptions that all the hacks would go to. We'd all be out there, and it was a lovely spot done by Jackie Onassis, but of course, he can't have anything that a Democrat did in the White House. He can't leave it stand, and it now looks like literally a parking lot. It's hideous.
Listener says, I'm convinced that the media played more of his speeches, the MAGA crowd would start to see him for the real fool he is. But for the media, that's what got him elected.
Yeah,
the media playing all these speeches for hours on television and Fox News. You want to talk about the Bundesliga, Dave. The Bundesliga being something Marion has probably never heard of before. This is the German Football League.
Yeah, let's get hipster, shall we? The elite German Football League, Das Bundesliga. It is not as big as the Premier League in the UK, I think it's fair to say. And if you break down the numbers, you'll see that the rights to sell the Premier League as a global behemoth on all your television screens and devices, I think they earn about 1.6 billion a year or something. It's comparatively a lot less for the Bundesliga. And what they're doing now is, to get to the point here, is they're pairing up with content creators online. YouTubers such as, for example, The Overlap, that show that Gary Neville and Roy Keane and others are on. And also a guy called Mark Goldbridge, who's a very, very divisive character, I think will be the nicest way of putting it.
Explain Mark Goldbridge, which is not his real name.
No, it's not his real name. And he claims to be a Man United fan, and I don't think that he is. There's certainly debate about that. Former policeman, I believe, who struck it big on YouTube as a man who watches Man United matches and screams at you while he watches them. We call them watch-alongs, but it's performative outrage. It's manufactured outrage, and for some reason, people seem to like it. Honestly, like,
so, what is this new phenomenon, watch-along, right? Because I actually recently had the misfortune. I had recorded the Wimbledon final at home and recorded it on the wrong channel, and it was a watch-along, right? And it had former tennis professionals and Craig Doyle as the anchor, and their pictures down the side and across the bottom of the screen, and they're talking inanely throughout the games, and I just let me see the match, let me just hear the what's this watch along nonsense, and now I believe it's becoming common for all sports.
It's an alternative, and some people like it because they want to see the personalities that they like watching it. For example, David Beckham had one recently where he was watching the Champions League, and he had Tom Brady there and he had Tom Cruise there, and let me tell you, and I'm a Tom Cruise fan, but let me tell you, Tom Brady and Tom Cruise, a meeting of the synergistic robot minds, the likes of which you've never seen before. Tom Cruise was just like, oh wow, he did the goal, how did he do the goal, tell me David. And David's like, well, you know. So long story short, Mark Goldbridge now has the right, as do The Overlap, as do these YouTubers, to show full games in the Bundesliga. It's an attempt to broaden out the commerciality of that league a league that has lots of barriers in place in doing so. And I don't know, I kind of feel like with the Goldbridges of this world, we're rewarding bad behaviour. I don't get it. People like it. I don't understand why. I'm out of touch. I understand that.
A lot of his clips go up afterwards. They go viral because he's shouting and roaring when something goes wrong for Manchester United. And that happened an awful lot last season.
It did, unfortunately.
A lot of us quite enjoyed that. But anyway... It still is just moronic behaviour.
I know, and it's also, it's fake. It's not real. And I say this as someone who likes professional wrestling. You know, like the suspension of disbelief is something that you do in that sport. And yes, it is a sport, everybody.
But with Mark Goldbridge, the professional wrestling on in Dublin this weekend.
I'm not. It's on tonight, actually.
It's on through your arena, isn't it?
Yeah, it's not. I otherwise engaged, unfortunately. But the thing is,
are you going, Marion?
Didn't even know it was on.
Yeah,
I won't be watching this Mark Goldbridge thing because I don't believe it. Every time you see the social media clips cut up, and it's just this performative outrage and performative screaming, your 2-year-old child on their worst day is not as annoying and irritating as this guy is.
A listener says the watch along is like Gogglebox, only crappier. Another one says it's celebrity Gogglebox for sports. But at least Gogglebox is sort of something put together afterwards and there's a degree of humour in it.
Oh, it's hideous. I just got introduced to Gogglebox a couple of months ago. My sister was watching it and I just, literally I had to get up and leave the room. It's like listening to somebody talking on their phone or just all those annoying things. But all this performative stuff that people are doing now, this fake outrage, this, you know, it's politics, it's culture, it's everywhere. It's like, just shut up and
watch it. We watched Big Brother back in the year 2000 and we wondered if that would be the future of television. It turns out it is. We want to watch people watching television, watching people watching television.
Mm-hmm.
Wild.
Dave Hanratty, Marion McKeown, it's been great having you. Thank you very much.
The Last Word on Today FM.